We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Sal's going to be a minute. Do you have a thought on s'mores? S'mores guy?
Not worth the trouble.
It is a lot of trouble.
Not worth the trouble.
It is. That's perfectly put.
Marshmallow gets all over everything. It's really sticky. Ruins clothing. Not
to mention that you have to start a fire.
Well, yeah. I mean, I miss starting the fire. I miss sitting around the fire. I love a good fire.
I'm happy to have the rest of my family be people who all love starting fires.
Yeah, that works for you. Then,
that's beautiful.
If you don't like it, yeah. Yeah, getting the fire going on the beach, like back in the day, you know, yeah, we got to fire it up. The s'mores, I don't know, not, there's never a big, I was the guy that like, sure, let me roast the marshmallows, ah, it's on fire, ah, it fell off the stick, oh, well, it's okay, I don't like marshmallows. That's me with marshmallow. Don't need it.
Don't need it. I couldn't put it any better.
I would gladly.
It's not worth the effort.
I like graham crackers. I like chocolate. I'd gladly eat graham crackers and chocolate. I don't need no marshmallow in there. I'm all right with all it.
Sal, the question you were fully expecting to start the conversation.
Will there be s'mores on your trip to Italy?
Do you like s'mores?
Actually, I don't. I'm not a marshmallow guy.
See, there's another one. All right, solidarity.
Remember the time we had? I had a friend who called graham crackers the perfect food, and we did like a show on that. Wow. Is that when you said cucumbers were the perfect food? Is it the same day?
Maybe.
In that hotel in Toronto?
I don't even know. That sounds right.
All right.
Yeah.
Speaking of international traveling, here's Sal Capaccio with us one day before his trip abroad. Very exciting. No real Bills news, I guess, but the number one topic of the offseason, I mean, arguably at least, has been James Cook, who somewhat surprisingly showed up for that end of minicamp to avoid fines. And we still didn't know exactly what to expect here, Sal, whether there would be a new contract or even a holdout or a hold-in. I suppose as we're now a little more than 2 weeks away, these are all still possibilities.
Yes, I agree with that. And I think when he went to the podium to talk during minicamp, it didn't really clarify anything about where things may stand with that. The only thing we know from that is, okay, this is good. He's here. He said, I like my money. He didn't want to be fined, obviously, but he also said that he thought it was part of his kind of responsibility, right, to be there, being a team leader, which I think was really good to hear. There's no doubt about that. I think the good grace is there. That's an olive branch, right? I think whether to the fans, the organization, his teammates, you know, to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if it really resolves the overall issue that's going on.
Well, I wonder, Sal, you know, we talked a little bit about this yesterday during our show, and, you know, him saying it as plainly as he did, and I mean, and I'm not dogging him for it. I like my money. That's why mainly why I'm here. I like my money. You know, fine. I wouldn't want to get dinged $100,000 for missing 3 days where I'm not going to be asked to do a whole lot other than maybe sit here and answer these questions. That's maybe the hardest thing he had to do the whole 3 days. but it also could have been from his end, like, look, I'm doing the thing you want me to do. Good faith on my end, and I wonder if, and I only say if, because I don't know this, it doesn't have to be a big ulterior motive, but he might have been hoping that could jumpstart things, and that's maybe the only avenue to there being any tension about it I see this summer, because otherwise I think he just shows up, and without a new contract, and just does what he did in the spring. But if he was hoping it was going to start something, and now he feels a little burned by that, then maybe he could hold in. I expect him to be here, though. Do you?
I do, based on just him showing up and the things he said.
Right.
I don't know if I expect him to necessarily do everything right away. And it could be one of those, I'll hold in for one day, or even hold out for one day, right? And then, you know, make a statement or something like that. Now, we also don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I mean, the other part of it that was super interesting to me was when he was asked by Sal Marinaro, I think it was, basically, like, about the number, $15 million, and why that's out there. And he kind of had no answer for that. He's like, it's just kind of just something I said. And I'm wondering, like, is there something going on behind the scenes where now you don't want to look like you're giving in too much if you do sign for something significantly less than that, right? I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out in a couple weeks, but I do think all options are still kind of, you know, all results here, scenarios are still on the table. Would any of us really be surprised if maybe the most surprising thing might be they actually showed up with a contract extension? Like, you know, the day they get there is, they signed James Cook to a contract extension. But I wouldn't completely rule it out. I think, you know, by him showing up, maybe he was told by the organization and his agent, hey, listen, if you really want this to happen, we need to see you here. We're not going to negotiate with you if you don't show up. Like, we need to see that, you know, you're serious about this and want to make things work, and we want to make things work.
To me, I'm not sure I want to say it's the likeliest outcome that, but I'm sure I think it's more likely than you guys do.
Yeah, I'm more like Sal, where I would agree. I think it's the least likely scenario.
A couple of my thoughts on this, Sal, are, one, I don't know if he'll ever see that money from yesterday. We had a topic about him, and we used Mike Clay's projections for Cook's stats, which were 1,260 yards and 12 rushing touchdowns, like another banger. And like, if he happened to walk after that season, would he get $15 million then? I don't know. I mean, he's a touchdown god, maybe, but that's even weird thinking about where we were last year on him. So I just kind of think it works for everybody to get him signed to like a 3-year thing for less than that, because I don't know if he would even get that kind of money after a great year if he left.
I agree with that. I mean, that's still talking top at that time, maybe by next year, top 5 money running backs in the NFL. So he might not get that anywhere. I don't know if it's necessarily that, though. The Bills may just feel like, you know, they're not even coming close to that or approaching that, and he wants to max out his value. That could very well be the case. I mean, what do we have? War, right? Wins above replacement. And let's just say it's not wins above replacement. That's part of it. Let's take those numbers, 1,200 and something Mike Clay had.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say it's not James Cook and it's Ray Davis. How much different are the numbers, really? And like, I think that that's got to be part of the equation the Bills think, too, which is, look, like, we have our entire offensive line back and their backups. It's very good. We have Josh Allen. Yes, he's a really good player. But if we don't have him and we go to the next guy, who's Ray Davis, how much different does that really look? And I think that's a real interesting question.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I mentioned this yesterday when we were talking about this, so I'll repeat it now to you. I think the only thing I would say, the first thing that would jump to my mind is, can Ray Davis run away from people? And a year ago, I would have told you, I'm not really sure James Cook can do that. But last year, there was another gear there, or the circumstances just fell right. However it worked, he ran away from some DBs last year. And that's to his credit. I think I've heard even McDermott say something about, you know, work he did in specific on footwork, speed work, whatever. Good for him. I don't know if Ray Davis can run away from a safety or a cornerback in the open field. But, you know, that what is that, 3 carries a year where that happens? Like, the rest of it, like, I would guess if you fed Ray Davis the volume James Cook had last year, it'd be 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns. I think it's going to be, you know, you're going to live with it for sure.
And you have Ty Johnson still, who we know is a really, I mean, Josh Allen called him the best third down back in the league. You know, part of this is, too, the usage of, you know, the Bills don't use James Cook a lot on third downs for you know, reasons that they have Ty Johnson, who's very good at it, and they catch in the ball, even though James Cook, a couple of years ago, I think he is a good receiving back out of the backfield. But we also know that, you know, he's not the best pass blocker.
Right.
And he's not going to be on the field in those situations. So I think the Bills take all of that into account and say, like, we can still be a really good offense without James Cook. Yes, we are better with James Cook. I don't think anybody would doubt that. And I'm sure that Brandon Bean, this is part of the issue I have with, like, this whole conversation sometimes with fans, and the way people frame it is, you know, What do the Bills maybe wanting to sign James Cook? Like the word wanting to. The Bills want to sign James Cook. Like, I'm convinced of that. I just don't think they want to sign him for the money he wants because of the value they place on him based on all these things we're talking about.
And as you started by saying, you know, referring to his press conference, who knows how serious he is about whatever the. I mean, he's serious enough that he doesn't have a new deal yet, which would imply that he's looking for a real number.
Yeah, I think the thing that to me is the most in the way why I feel so much aligned with you, Sal, on it being maybe the least likely of outcomes is that he shows up and gets that contract extension is precisely how they use him. Like, I just don't think they're going to want to extend themselves to a place where a guy would have to play 70% or so of the snaps in order to make them feel like they're getting out of it what they need to get out of it. It worked too well with everybody in the roles they were in last year. So it's not like they should have a sign in the yard for, you know, spare running back wanted. Like, they're all set, and it really worked. They ran it great. They passed it well enough. It all worked. So why would I want to pay this guy money that I'm eventually going to regret at some point or another, probably, even if it's only 3 years, and it's going to be a problem on my salary cap, other than just making him happy, which that's not nothing, but it certainly shouldn't be at the front of the line of reasons I do something. I just don't see a way to him getting paid, and that sort of gets you to the question Mike asked about what the market looks like if he has another year like we just described. Does somebody, the cap's going up, does somebody, I would guess some bad team, the drought Bills, would go out and sign a $15 million a year, less than 50% of the time running back because his stats look good and our fans will love it.
Yeah, that's right. I agree with that. I was thinking the same thing as you were saying it. Like, if that happens, someone's paying them, right? It might not be the smart thing to do, but some team's going to be like, oh no, we're doing this because it's going to give juice to our fan base. And, you know, he's a name. He's a, you know, hot player in the league. So that would happen. The other reason why I think it's less likely about the contract is just Brandon Bean's own words back at the owners' meetings when he said basically like next year, like he referred to next year. It's almost like they're kind of resigned to, look, we just can't make it happen. We're not going to do it. We'll revisit it. We'll see what our contract, our cap looks like. They paid all these other guys. He said, you know, we pivoted these other guys and we realized it wasn't going to happen. So the only way that it kind of can happen to me is if James Cook's side goes, okay, well, guess what? Like, we kind of overplayed our hands, so we're going to come way down. And then maybe Brandon Bean goes, okay, well, we could do that. But I think it was almost already him telling everybody, hey, you know, it's just not going to work this year, and he's still under contract, and we'll see where it goes. On top of the fact that the way that they have treated the running back position since Brandon Bean has been the general manager, and let's be honest, it's basically worked, right? They haven't really invested. I mean, James Cook's a second-round pick, and you could say it's a really good asset. That's fine. They haven't invested a first-round pick, and they haven't gone out and spent big money on a free agent, and they haven't signed anybody to a second contract. And even though Zach Moss didn't really work out in a Bills uniform, it was, we just draft these guys, and then we kind of use them up, and then they go somewhere else, and then we draft the next one to do it. And it's Devin Singletary, and then it was Zach Moss, and then they traded him for an asset, and now it's then it's James Cook, and then it's Ray Davis. It's just kind of what they do, guys.
Yeah. What kind of read, if any, Sal, would you have on how it could or would impact the team overall if Cook – and this is not to imply that he'll be sitting in a corner pouting or being sad or, you know, I don't know, making duct tape jail cell doors like Joe Cribbs did in front of his locker.
Ooh,
or something.
What a pull.
But, like – guys are rooting for one another. They'd want, you know, Terrell Bernard got paid, Greg Rousseau got paid, Christian Benford got paid, and who am I leaving out? I'm sorry if I'm skipping somebody. Khalil Shakir got paid, and James Cook is, oh, well, you're running back, sorry. You know, that's tough, but at the same time, everyone in there is trying to, you know, do good, win the Super Bowl. Their careers all matter to them too, and they probably need James Cook pulling his weight to get where they want to go. So, like, I wonder just how that dynamic might work in the Bills locker room.
You know, it's interesting. I get the sense that where this team is now, the people they have there in the locker room, the leaders especially, I don't know if it would really matter, and they would still say, hey, we want James to get his money, and guess what? We understand, and they would support James Cook while still doing their job. I don't think anybody would be sour on him, and I don't think it would impact his relationship Now, maybe younger players, when they were starting this whole thing, if this happened a few years ago, and I'm not even sure of this, maybe they may feel different. But I think that these guys, this group, has been, the core group here, has been in this league long enough now to kind of understand how this works. And they also love James Cook. So I think that they would still understand from both sides why this is happening and just say, but it's our job to go out there and play. And it's almost like we have to do it. What if he got hurt, right? If somebody was isn't playing because they're hurt, we still have to do the same thing. And they would kind of just treat it like that.
But if you accused him of not investing enough in the running back position, would Brandon Bean take offense? This time, he might actually have to agree and concede the point. With Sal Capaccio, so that it continues to be something to talk about. And who knows, maybe by the time we get to training camp in 2 weeks, it'll all be settled. Cornerback will not be. What happens at starting corner across from Benford? That, you've talked about it a lot, I know, Sal, but that'll be a really interesting one to monitor through camp.
Well, I think it's the number one battle. I think it's really the only true starting position that's available on this team right now. If you want to say safety at Cole Bishop, well, that's just up to Cole Bishop. If he's healthy, he's a starting safety. I don't think there's any question in my mind about it. I could be wrong about that, but I just don't think there's a question there. You want to talk?
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Talk about who the fifth wide receiver is, that's fine. Or what the pecking order of wide receiver is, that's fine too. But we know who the guys are. We know who the main guys are. That's not the case at cornerback number two. I think Tre'Davious White is the guy that starts off taking the reps when they show up on July 23rd. And I think Max Harrison is going to have every opportunity to show what he can do by the time they get to the end of preseason, have every single chance to win that job. But you have to win it away from Tre'Davious White. And I know you could say it anyway, right? I guess what I'm saying is it's Tre'Davious White's job to lose, but to me it's really more Max Harrison's job to win is the way it comes down to me. That's the way I look at it. So, yeah, I do think it's interesting. Look, I think corner overall, guys, secondary actually is really interesting, because if I'm doing a projected 53, and I'm doing this the other day, looking at it going, man, like someone's not making it. And I don't know who that is. I think DeMar Hamlin is iffy, but I think even on top of that, I'm talking corner. Is Dane Jackson a lock? No. Like, are they going to cut Dorian Strong, this kid that they just drafted? What, you know, was it a sixth-round pick, I think, Dorian Strong? You could. Mm-hmm. Yep. You don't want to lose him to waivers. You're not obviously, Jordan Hancock's going to be on the team. I think Jamarcus Ingram and Dane Jackson, to me, as I look right now just at the roster, are they fighting for one spot? That could very well be something we're talking about. I just think that position is really interesting.
Setting up for a possible Tre'Davious White revenge game in week one.
Yeah, I guess right. You're right.
I
think Tre'Davious, watching him in OTAs and minicamp, like, no, I'm not telling you I think he looked like Tre'Davious White of 2019, but I just think that, you know, he was energetic, he knew what he was doing, and he didn't look out of place. And I think that's the start right there with him.
Yeah. I like that you got to be behind there too, and Cole Bishop, because I agree with you on that front too. I think Bishop, it would stun me if he's not the opening day starter, if it were something other than an injury. And that spot, I think, is interesting. I heard Nate and Joe this morning for a few minutes while I was heading to a very early tea time talking about the stability you would want behind whoever, like, if Harrison is going to be that corner, and as a rookie, and you're just going to throw him in, right? He wins the job. You're still going to want as much insurance, something you can feel is as bankable as it can get back there, maybe. You know, you can leave Benford on his own. He's Christian Benford. He knows what he's doing here. And sure, there's times we're probably going to want to give him help, but you know what I'm getting to here. Like, the kid on the other side, if it ends up being him, heck, if it even ends up being Tre'Davious White, that wins the job. You might want to be shading help on that side more, and that's where Bishop really comes in, like that you know, or Taylor Rapp. But Taylor Rapp's really not the cover guy anyway. It feels like that's going to be Bishop, and that's going to be a key cog, I think, this year.
Yeah, and I think that Cole Bishop, when they used him last year, they showed they want to use him in the box a little bit. You know, he's a physical player. He gives them a little more ability to do a little bit more on down in, down out, and any down and distance situation. They can play with him back there. So I think that he just offers a little more versatility than what they've had and what they want, and gives them an ability to kind of match up a little bit better, right? I mean, think about when he was drafted and how he covered Dalton Kincaid in college, and Dalton's like, yeah, like he admitted that like he had the better of me in college. And, you know, not a lot of people did necessarily. Dalton Kincaid was a really good college player, but in practice, you know, this kid was very good at what he did. So I think matchup specific, Cole Bishop becomes really important as well. It's an interesting spot because, like, I think they normally keep four safeties on the roster. You could go to a fifth, there's no doubt, but then you're probably taking someone from the corner spot. Like, I think this year it's probably you could go six corners, four safeties. I could see that happening. Now, I'm not even counting Brandon Codrington. Brandon Codrington is a corner. This is a really fascinating one to me because, like, a lot of Bills fans, and maybe you guys too, I don't know, are not where I am on what the team feels about him and his spot. Like, I think Brandon Codrington is on this team unless somebody really shows that they can take the return job away. Because it's not going to be Khalil Shakir. They just gave him $58 million. He's your number one receiver. Like, he's break glass in case of emergency, like in the playoffs, have a guy you can trust guy back there. That's for sure. But, like, Brandon Codrington factors in here because he's a corner, but he's also, like, your number one punt returner. And that is a really super-duper important job for the Buffalo Bills and the way to do this. So what do the numbers look like? Right. To me, it's Taylor Rapp, Cole Bishop. I think Derek Forrest has a job in this team because he's a special teams guy that they really like that they could put in there. And Cam Lewis, they love Cam Lewis. Like, Brandon Bean said last year, Cam Lewis, and I believe him, like, he made reference to Cam Lewis would be a starter at corner, at nickel corner on almost any other team in this league. That's how much they love him.
Plus, Codrington does both. Like, you have punts and kickoffs in one player.
Chenault does not return punts. He doesn't have one single punt return to his credit. So if somebody out there was thinking just now, oh, but Sale, they signed Chenault. He's going to replace Codrington. He doesn't return punts.
And by the way, just while we have Sale, I think of this often, but I don't think I've ever said it. I heard it said how a kickoff return is like a running play and a punt return is like a receiving play. And I wondered if you've ever heard that or thought about that. I get it in terms of the kickoff return. The guy gets the ball, and he's got time to line up blocks and try to, you know, figure out holes and angles where the punt returner, it's kind of like catch it and look out. They're on you pretty quick.
Yeah, I haven't heard the second part about that as much, but I think more and more, and especially with the new rules, certainly, you know, a kick return is like a running play for sure. And, you know, with the new rules, like the Bills are going to use two kick returners. And I don't think Laviska Shenault really factors in here unless he, oh, my God, you got to keep this guy. He's unbelievable at kick returns. But they're going to use two kick returners. They're going to have a main punt returner. And you're right, Bulldog, he does both. So you're using the guy for both things. And then your other guy can be a Ty Johnson. It could be a Ray Davis. They can be the second kick returner there. But I think it all factors in the numbers-wise. And that's how you start to get to – well, who's the odd guy or odd guys out in this situation?
Right. I'm saying that definitively about Chenault. For all I know, he's fielding punt after punt out of a jugs machine since he signed here, but he has zero punt returns in his NFL career so far. So I'm saying he can't do it. Really, what I should be saying is he hasn't done it. If that changes because he's reading the tea leaves here and sees the landscape, like, I need to add this in order to make sure I get a spot, then, you know, maybe they give that a try in the summer. I don't know, but he just has not done that in the NFL yet.
Good luck. That might be hard to pick up.
Yeah, I would either, think. By the way.
What's that?
I don't think he did in college.
Okay, right.
Colorado.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Very good. Sal, enjoy your time away, and we will see you in a couple weeks.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks a lot.
That's our dude Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet, Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Looks like Chelsea is through.
Yeah, I turned. Yeah, they were
2-0.
2-0. Nil is what the soccer people say.
They beat the Flumen Nazis. The Flu. I don't mean that. The Flu. I do not mean that.
I don't have it. I know you don't.
Fluminazzi?
I don't. Fluminense.
Fluminescence?
Fluminense.
Fluminase. One of those. Fluminase. It sounded what I wanted until it came out, and then it wasn't what I wanted at all.
Yeah, no, that
can, I didn't want that. I mean no harm toward anybody.
That can happen.
Especially that club. Anybody associated with it. We need a break. I do. I know that. 803-0550, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.